if we are correct that the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon at the end of his life as more or less a testimony of repentance to the Lord and the lessons learned in life. I mean, if you just read the Chronicles and the King's account of Solomon's life and the end of his life, it's a terrible thing. It speaks of his worshiping at the gods of the nations, of false gods. And actually, I got a quotation in here from Matthew Henry that posits the same thing. But at any rate, he was endowed with wisdom beyond measure. I mentioned this morning that the Satan was created the most cunning of the beasts or the creatures that God made. Well, we would be hopeful that Solomon, as one endowed with spiritual wisdom, would be best. Actually, I want to turn that little camera on. The book of Ecclesiastes was certainly written as a testimony. Regardless whether Solomon in his early years, in his later years, and I think that's where I end up as my understanding, but certainly he intends to teach from his experience so that we would learn, so that we don't make the same mistakes that he made. And I think that's one of the deals of parenting, isn't it? You know, we want to pass along what we've learned. We don't want our children to make the same mistakes, and so they can, you know, buck their head against the wall, or they can say, hey, don't do that, or it's not going to work. And so we pass on this knowledge, this information. And that's how I read the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll read the 12th chapter, looking particularly at the last verses 13 and following. So hear the word of God. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down. When the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height, and of the terrors, of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails, given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. brothers, sisters in Christ, as we consider these verses, and clearly these are verses that you've probably read before, you've probably thought about them before. In fact, I wouldn't doubt you've probably heard sermons on these verses before. And yet, never were these verses read in your life as you find yourself right now, at your particular point in life, at your particular trials and troubles, at your particular, the occasion is always fitted for the reader as we hear them. And so even now, as we come to the Word of God, it's that we might understand them. It's that we might take their words to heart. You know, like that verse 6 says, remember your Creator now in your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So maybe particularly we talk about kids graduating, school years ending, new occupations or employments and such things. This is just for you. It's a reflection for us all to make some progress. And as we do these things, part of it is we look back over what's behind us. We take a state, if you will, of ourselves. If retrospection is thinking back, introspection is looking in. Expectation then looks ahead. Where do we come from? What are we going to do? Where are we going? And I think it is in these things that the Word of God is especially helpful. So as we look at these verses, we will see that the preacher urges us to fear God and keep His commandments. He urges us. He makes a conclusion of based on this knowledge. He tells us what the requirements are for this knowledge, and then he takes a deep look. He says, what is the depth of the knowledge of God? So we begin. What is the conclusion of the matter? Look at verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's he talking about? The conclusion of this chapter? The conclusion of this book? The conclusion of all of life? The conclusion of how we might live, of what we might attain, and what we might seek to do? Well, I think that is pretty close. What is the big picture here? What is the point of all divine revelation? It's a pretty big scope, huh? Well, the lesson, the point, is to learn what the preacher would have us to learn, to teach us what he has here put down to teach. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear. What is it that makes sense of life? I mean, just verses earlier, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Go back to chapter 1. He says, knowledge is vanity. Chapter 2, knowledge is vanity. 3, 4, and 5, pleasure and work and labor and all of these things in themselves are not going to satisfy the longings of the human heart. Not going to do it. What's going to do it is the question. And his answer, his reply, is that to know God, to fear God, and to keep His commandments. Well, Matthew Henry says of the book of Ecclesiastes in general, and this chapter in particular, he says, at the close of his life, being made sensible to his sin and folly, Solomon recorded here his experience for the benefit of others as the book of his repentance, and he pronounced all earthly good to be vanity and vexation of spirit. It convinces us of the vanity of life by itself, of the pursuit of wealth and riches and reputation. That was me, not him. It convinces us that of the vanity of the world and that it cannot make us happy. It convinces us of the vileness of sin and of its certain tendency to make us miserable. It shows that no created good can satisfy the soul, and that happiness is to be found in God alone. And this doctrine must, under the Blessed Spirit's teaching, lead us to the heart, lead the heart to Christ Jesus. And so it is. So it is. If we would learn the lesson being taught by this teacher, by this preacher. You know, he even calls himself preacher in verse 9, doesn't he? And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he taught the people knowledge. He pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. And well, he did. In fact, we're told in the book of Proverbs that he didn't even get them all put in place. It was actually Hezekiah and Hezekiah's counselors that formulated most of the books of, or the chapters of the book of Proverbs. Well, what is clear as we look at the conclusion of the knowledge of God, what is clear is the breadth and depth of this knowledge is exceedingly great. In fact, he talks about wisdom and knowledge, right? Look at verses 11 and following. The words of the wise are like goads, the words of scholars like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. Of all the knowledge that's out there, this is the most important. In fact, when I was in, about the time I was being brought to a point of conversion, my sophomore year in college, I was invited to a Bible study of some roommate that I hadn't known until that time. And that was really the first time that I read the Scriptures trying to understand them. You know, probably 20 years old, maybe 18, 19, I don't know. Here, Christian grade school, Christian home, Christian high school. Now my second year of a Christian college, and it's the first time I'm actually reading the Scriptures, trying to understand them, to see what they mean and how they apply. Well, it is exactly there that the Word of God exerted its influence upon my soul. The chief thought that I had at the time, wow, God is pretty serious about this. He's not impressed with external obedience, with formal service or worship, because he's after our whole and entire being. In fact, it says there of the making of many books, there is no end. Of all the things you can learn, the fear of the knowledge of God is the greatest. Like that's where my story started. And I remember one of the Bible study leaders, Theo, my wife will know who that is. He says, Randy, you think intellectual, rational knowledge is a big deal. He says, think of this. All knowledge is like this much. Intellectual rationalism is probably that much. The fear of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, those are the real value and the things that really fill up that scale. And I think he's right. You know, so what if you can repeat the first 100 characters of pi? So what? So what if you can figure out some mathematical equation and you don't know who put you on the earth or why you're here? That comes from the Spirit of God. That comes from the Word of God. And indeed it is these things that would guide us and drive us to the Lord that we might hear Him and know Him. Well, as we live in a very commercialized world, in fact, one of the commercials that we're running on the radio right now, since we live in such a culture and society that doesn't really believe anything or nothing for certain, it's encouraging to know that the words of Scripture are trustworthy. In fact, even secular archaeologists have had to admit that the Bible is historically accurate. It's not really disputable. The liberals of the 1800s thought they could deny this and that because there was no historical evidence or geological evidence. No, geological is not quite the right word, but archaeological evidence. Well, as time passes on, the more discoveries that are made, the more reliable are the Scriptures that we hold in our hands and the more accurate the details that are included. Now, there was a while we have in our Apostles' Creed, Pontius Pilate. His name wasn't mentioned anywhere. And they want you to know it. I think they pulled this rock up out of the Mediterranean. Here's a list of the judges, the governors in Israel. And there was his name. Should have we doubted that until we had the proof? By no means. We should have been believing it all along. At any rate, we live in a world that is commercialized. The money that's spent on advertisements, it's just unbelievable. In fact, Super Bowl commercials, multi-million dollars for each 30 seconds. Why? I think the why is because it works. It influences people. And it creates within them a discontentment. It creates within them the thought, though, I'm really not happy. I don't have what I really want because that's what I really want. I want more and bigger and better. And if you're not happy and you think somebody else is happy so you can get their happiness, well, that's a sucker bet from the start. It's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. You have to know the right and do the right. Know the plan, the purpose, and execute the plan. And that's exactly what we have going on here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Well, let's have it then. Fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God. Know Him. Understand who He is. And then bow your head and bend your knees to the Almighty God of all creation. This is the requirement that's set before us, isn't it? To fear God. Did you think about various passages in Scripture? Solomon could have picked a lot of different words. Could have said, glorify God. Could have said, know God. Should have said, worship God. And yet his choice was fear. Fear God. Consider God's greatness, consider His glory, and respond appropriately to it. Another commentator says, the fear of God includes the whole, the entirety, of internal religion. It becomes the power of godliness. All the graces of the Spirit and the exercises of them is reverence for God, is love to Him, faith in Him, and in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The fear of God subsumes and includes all of these things. To hope in Him, to have humility of heart and soul and patience and submission to His will, along with every other grace. Fear God in the depth of your being. In your heart of hearts, reverence the Lord your God. Know Him. Endeavor to fear Him and to worship Him as you ought. And then keep His commandments. If we would fear God, if we would know who He was, know why and what He has revealed, the fundamental level of wisdom is then doing it. You know, in fact, my offhand definition of wisdom is knowing enough to do the right when you're tempted to do the wrong. Isn't that what wisdom is? Knowing enough to do the right, of not turning aside to the left, not turning to the right, not going out of the way, not neglecting the gift that God has given to you and the provisions that He supplies. Indeed, wisdom is knowing enough to do God's revealed will when tempted not to. And of course, taking into consideration that we live in a fallen world, taking into consideration that we have the remnants of a fallen nature within us, in fact, we talked a little bit last week about indwelling sin, devil, one place, one time. The world, we can shut it out. We can. We don't, but we could. But the weakness of the flesh, the remnants of indwelling man, indwelling sin, that's always with us. and understanding that truth, being prepared for its influence, this John Owen says is the principal part of our wisdom. Because if you don't take precautions, if you're not ready for the distractions, if you're not ready to persist and to persevere in the fate of this of temptation, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're not going to succeed in building and strengthening your soul with the true spiritual food of the gospel. Well, interesting thing here. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. I think the King James there, as well as the NIV and a number of other translations, has "for this is the whole duty of man." And one of my points here was to say that, well, that word "duty" is not actually there. It's man's all. It is man. This is who man is. This is what man is for, to know God and to keep His commandments. In fact, this hits right at the heart. I'm sure some of you know the Children's Catechism. Who made you? God. What else did God make? All things. This is kindergarten type stuff, right? Why did God make you and all things? For His glory. Yeah? How do you glorify God? By loving Him and doing what He says. That's pretty close to what we see here. Fear God, keep His commandments. Love Him, do what He says. And of course, the whole context of these things is set so that we would understand. For this is man's all. Then verse 14, the depth of this knowledge of God. What does it matter? Well, here it is. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The psalmist rejoices at the thought that God is going to right the scales of justice. We sing Joy to the World as a Christmas song, but the last stanza, I think it is, proclaims that Christ is going to come and judge the world in righteousness. And I think Jesus came and says the same thing. The kingdom of God is near, so repent. Turn from your sin. Turn to the Lord. Know that He is God and that we need to hear and to heed His voice. You know, we read 2 Peter chapter 3. The other chapter in contention was the last part of Matthew chapter 24. The exhortation that says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know at what hour your Lord is coming." Three truths. I have a sermon on this. I'm not sure I preached it here. The certainty of Christ's return. Watch therefore, for you do not know at what hour your Lord is coming. Is He coming? You bet. Secondly, the certainty of our not knowing when. Watch, for you do not know when your Lord is coming. And then thirdly, the certainty of our needing to be watchful, to be ready, to be waiting. And that hits pretty near to what this command is teaching. Fear God and keep His commandments. When? On Sundays? On Mondays from 9 to noon? And then again from 6 to 9? No. Fear God and keep His commandments always, in all times, mindful of His Word. Because, as says the preacher here, life as we know it will not be forever. We might pass and go through this life, but there is going to be a generation on the earth, and the Word of God does not bode well for them. In fact, just before that, in Matthew chapter 24, it says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man." People are not going to be ready. They're not going to be waiting. That doesn't diminish the command now, does it? the urging upon ourselves to be watchful, to be ready, to be diligent in prosecuting the work of the Christian faith. Don't think that this easy believism that's called Christianity is in fact the real deal. To think that you can sign your name on the back of the four spiritual laws and that's your ticket to heaven is a lie. Probably not a greater lie has been foisted upon American Christianity than that. Do you have to believe that those things are so? Yeah, you do. But it becomes your life. It becomes who you are. It becomes whose you are. The words of Jesus apply to everyone. Unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Daily. That's what it says. You cannot be my disciple. Or those verses we read in 2 Peter chapter 3. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Does it matter what you do? It does. Does it matter what you don't do? It does. In fact, I think one of the subtleties that I think we often miss the point is when we make wrong decisions or we make poor decisions in our life and we think that these will be of little consequence, we are greatly mistaken. Because I think the way in which a heart becomes hardened to the truth, it's maybe not all at once. It's just a little bit over time. You know, when we ignore the Word, we don't do the dictates of Scripture. We think, oh, it'll be all right. After all, we're saved by grace through faith. And we have to see that the call of God's Word is for us to endure. The admonitions of Scripture is to endure difficulties in your obedience, in doing the will and the Word of the Lord. As we consider the working out of the grace of God, the call of His Word and Spirit, the only right answer is yes, Lord. The only right action is obedient to His voice. And it is that which the Spirit enables us to hear and to discern and to understand that which is His will. And may it be that as we grow, and you know, our young people here, are you going to face temptations as you grow up? Sure. Maybe it's going to be some great guy that you meet. Maybe some great gal that you meet. Maybe you're going to be employed and you have all this money at your disposal. You say, well, nobody will see. Don't do it. Don't start even with a little. Because a little quite easily becomes a little more. And a little more and a little more. You hear these cases, don't you, of these bookkeepers, of these finance people who end up embezzling like $200,000 and $300,000. How do they do that? Well, they probably started with relatively insignificant amounts and didn't get caught. Well, that's just the way the devil works, isn't it? It's just the way he works. What do we say to our kids? We give you an inch and you take a mile. Well, that's exactly the way Satan works with our hearts. Yeah, don't be so. It's not going to matter. And so you don't, and you didn't. And pretty soon, it becomes a foreign language to your experience. Well, all of that, as they say, is to be nipped in the bud. If we evaluate our course of action by the call of Scripture, we will be the better off for it. Let's hear it again. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Ready for it? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. This is your all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks to You for Your Word, for Your will, for its truth. We thank You that we would have hearing ears, that we would have understanding hearts, that we would have wills that are brought into submission to you, the God of heaven. Lord, we thank you for the kindness and the love that you show. We thank you for the Spirit which even now indwells our hearts, provides us with courage and conviction to serve and to do your will. We ask all this and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.